This is Gabriel Wrench with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Monday, February 12th, 2020. Bloomberg heard in a 2013 radio interview defending stop and frisk and throwing minority kids against the wall. Back in 2013, Mayor Bloomberg said, "I think we disproportionately stop whites too much and minorities too little. It's exactly the reverse of what they say." He's referring to New York City's stop and frisk policy. Now, according to the New York Post, at the time of his comments in 2013, 87% of all stops last year were for blacks or Latinos, who constituted 90% of the murder suspects, according to city stats. Only 9% were for white people, who made up 7% of all murder suspects. Setting aside the stop and frisk debate for a minute, as I have some serious concerns with that policy, if the stats are true, statistically speaking, Mayor Bloomberg is not a crazy racist. If high school kids were known for stealing all the cars in our town, then the police should be on the lookout for high school kids when cars get stolen. But here is what gets my funny bone about all this. The left can't help but devour each other. Forget reason, forget common sense, just stop thinking thoughts that the left don't like. Your thoughts are hateful to them because your thoughts hurt their feelings. You don't even need to say your thoughts. What you think makes them cry. Bloomberg, you know, hey, please meet your own devouring party. You have been a part of creating this woke party, and now it's going to toss you aside like an aborted fetus. Let's talk a little bit about stop and frisk for a minute. According to Cornell Law School Legal Information Institute, a stop and frisk refers to a brief, non-intrusive police stop of a suspect. The Fourth Amendment requires that before stopping the suspect, the police must have reasonable suspicion that a crime has been, is being, or is about to be committed by the suspect. If the police reasonably suspect that the suspect is armed and dangerous, the police may frisk the suspect, meaning that the police will give a quick pat down of the suspect's outer clothing. This law basically allows for officers to have, you know, frisking privileges according to how it is being interpreted. And according to how it's being interpreted, it does not violate, apparently, our nation's Fourth Amendment, which prohibits unreasonable search and seizures and requires any search warrant to be judiciously sanctioned and supported by a probable cause. You know, this, of course, opens up the door for all sorts of abuse and real constitutional concerns. I would prefer for a situation like this, maybe the policy or procedure is to go to, let's say, the county sheriff to get a sign off on, you know, a search and seizure, because there's the Constitution doesn't prohibit search and seizures. It just prohibits unreasonable search and seizures. So I would like to maybe adjust that and maybe have the county sheriff, you know, sign off to something like that. I think that would provide some nice accountability there. But think about this. The left, and even the right for that matter on this issue, cannot have an adult conversation about this because they'd rather virtue signal and call each other racist. Right now, I bet Bloomberg wishes he was blackface Northam right now from Virginia. Biden abruptly cancels New Hampshire primary party appearance, heads to South Carolina. According to Fox News, the former vice president abruptly announces on Tuesday morning that he won't spend primary night in New Hampshire as planned and instead is flying to South Carolina to head a newly scheduled kickoff rally in the state he's long considered his campaign firewall. Biden says, we're going to South Carolina tonight, Biden told reporters, and I'm going to Nevada. We've got to look at them all, end quote. The campaign confirmed Biden is now canceling his originally scheduled appearance at a primary night party in Nashua, New Hampshire, and will be in South Carolina instead. The New Hampshire party will go on as scheduled without him. Here's the deal. Biden knows he's going to lose New Hampshire, and you all know that by now, and so he is off to South Carolina to secure all the wavering voters there. If he does not win South Carolina, he's done. At this point in the Hunger Games circus, it potentially looks like Breadline Bernie is going to be the Democratic nominee. Now, Biden, if he wins South Carolina, he could have some sort of gain momentum, but he is, and I think he knows it, he's behind, and he's losing right now. Democratic hopeful Tom Steyer calls for a $22 an hour minimum wage. $22. Why not 50? Why not 100? According to MarketWatch, Democratic presidential hopeful Tom Steyer says he would call for a $22 hour minimum wage if elected president. The billionaire climate activist made that call during a campaign block party on Sunday afternoon in Winnsboro, South Carolina. Others in the field have called for an increase to $17 an hour. So you remember, Bernie Sanders was campaigning on $15 an hour. Well, now everybody's like, that's not enough. $17 an hour. And then Tom is like, how about 22? The Democrats are so desperate, they are literally trying to buy your vote. This means they will force companies to pay artificial wages so that they can get your employees to vote. We said this on Cross Politics Sunday special on Sunday night, that our nation is full of economic ignorance and the church is no better. We need to understand and apply God's word to every area of our lives, and this includes economics. 76% of all Democrats say they would vote for a socialist for president. Oh, man. According to Discern.com, a recent Gallup poll revealed that 76% of Democrats said they would vote for a socialist in the 2020 elections, a sharp contrast than the majority of Americans who said they would not consider doing so. The poll, released on Tuesday, was conducted last month in the lead-up to Iowa caucuses. Just 17% of the Republicans and 45% of the independents said they would support a socialist candidate. Cotton Mather's says, "Faithfulness begets prosperity, and the daughter devours the mother. Our nation, by the grace of God, is the richest and most powerful nation in history." It's incredible. What our nation has, it's incredible, the resources and the riches we have access to. You know, if King David could only dream of having a car, you know, a minivan, whatever, we are the richest nation in history. We are in the process of destroying our inheritance, and we have no one to blame but ourselves. God is judging our nation because he's judging the church. Judgment begins in the house of God, and so this is also where reformation and revival begins, in the church. It is the people sitting in the pews that need to repent. Let me repeat that again. It's the people that's sitting in the pews that need to repent. G.K. Chesterton, when asked what is wrong with the world, he responded and said, "Me." What is wrong with the world? Me. Pray for reformation and revival, and pray for it in your own church. This is Gabriel Wrench with Cross Politic News. You can find this show and all others on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network at crosspolitic.com or fightlaughfeast.com. And also on our app. You can download our app. Type in Fight, Laugh, Feast Network into your phone app store, and you can download the app. Support Rowdy Christian Media and join our club, please, at fightlaughfeast.com. We could not do this without our club members. We have big heart desires to do more, so please join our club at fightlaughfeast.com. We also hope to meet you at our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com to sign up for our conference email list, and I believe registration should be open next month. Seating will be limited. Be the first to sign up. Thank you for listening. God bless.